Finance Minister Matthias Cormann has denied there's been a corporate takeover of our democracy after calls for greater transparency around the lobbyist regime. There are now calls for changes to the regime, with complaints the register's scope and status has been limited and has no real teeth because it isn't legislated. Danielle Wood is from the Grattan Institute. Welcome to RN Drive.
Thanks for having me.
So what's essentially the problem here? We have a lobbyist regime. What are its flaws?
There's quite a number of flaws. First of all, it's an administrative regime rather than a legislation, as you said. It's administered by the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. They sort of act more as administrators than investigators. So we know, for example, that no one has been penalised under the regime in the last 5 years. The other flaw is even if they do get penalised, the penalties are very, very weak. So the only penalty under the regime is deregistration from the lobbyist register. There's no fines or other types of sanctions that can be applied.
Has anyone been deregistered?
Not in the last 5 years.
Okay, so in the last 5 years, no deregistrations?
No deregistrations. We know that there have been some potential breaches that have been looked at, but there's been no penalties that have applied.
So they've investigated but then dropped it? What does that mean?
That's our understanding. There's very little visibility around this. There's very little on the public record.
So. Okay. So is that possibly playing devil's advocate because lobbyists are abiding by the code?
That is possible. The code is not terribly strict. It just requires, for example, that they don't mislead parliamentarians, that they're not corrupt in any way. But there are some other requirements, for example, that ministers should not work in a lobbying role for 18 months after they leave their portfolio. And there have been examples that look like they clearly breach those requirements, and we haven't seen any we haven't seen those people pursued under the code.
Okay, so what constitutes a breach then?
So what constitutes a breach is, in that particular case of the minister, what constitutes a breach is if somebody takes a job lobbying in the portfolio area that they hold a ministry for 18 months after they leave that ministry. One of the big issues with the code is the very narrow way in which lobbying is defined. So lobbying to you or I or to the ordinary person might be anyone who kind of comes in to meet politicians to try and influence them. Under the code, lobbying is just people that work for a commercial lobbying firm. So they lobby on behalf of other people. So it doesn't include, for example, someone that works for the Business Council or the Minerals Council, one of those peak bodies. It doesn't include unions, groups like GetUp, and it doesn't include people that work in big corporations that go in and try and talk to politicians about their interests. So it's a very narrow definition of lobbying, which means that even, you know, the code is only capturing a very small slice of the conduct.
Why isn't the code overseen by an independent agency?
When it was set up so that Prime Minister and Cabinet would be the ones that administer it. We absolutely think it should be overseen by an independent agency. I think that's the only way you're going to get sort of serious investigation and enforcement under the code. And we also think it needs to be substantially expanded to apply to all those other groups that lobby that I just mentioned.
Okay, so in terms of the different responses from the different sides of politics, I started saying in this interview explaining that the finance minister, so the coalition, Matthias Cormann, says that there's no corporate takeover of our democracy, so essentially defending the regime. Are there any other views? Has Labor promised to do anything different?
I'm not aware that they've put any views on the record, and I think Matthias Cormann was responding to a question from Larissa Waters. So I think the Greens have had a bit to say about the weaknesses in the regime in the past. I don't know if they have any firm policies on it, but it seems to me it's actually an area where you would like parties to act together. I think, you know, these questions of integrity of Parliament.
Many things.
I know. But, you know, particularly this one where it goes to questions of parliamentary processes and integrity, it seems to me that's a really good opportunity for them to work to improve things. And the code is weak. It's not enforced. The sanctions are poor by international standards. You know, there's some pretty clear areas for improvement here.
You mentioned international standards. What lessons can we learn from overseas?
Well, for a start, most other countries would have their code enforced by someone not within the Prime Minister's department. They have independent bodies to enforce their codes. They have legislative regimes where they have penalties like fines in place, even imprisonment in some cases for very extreme breaches. But that idea that you have sort of a graduated series of penalties depending on the severity of the breach is just good practice, and that's not something that we have under our regime.
And how common is the transition from Canberra insiders to lobbyist?
Well, again, it's not something we've got great visibility over because we only capture such a small share of lobbyists. We've done some analysis looking at where ministers go after parliamentary life, and we find about a quarter of those go on to what we call special interest roles, so working either in a lobbying firm or lobbying within big business. So it's pretty common for our most senior politicians to go into these roles, and that's why we think we need to have appropriate checks and balances around it.
The Grattan Institute will be releasing a report on special interest influence on policy next Monday. What can we expect?
So we look broadly at the way special interest groups influence policy process. So lobbying is one, donations is another, public campaigns. And we're pointing to what we say are some pretty fundamental flaws in the way we regulate this. So it seems to us that there are many examples of special interest groups having undue influence in policy.
And this happens on the left and the right?
It happens on both sides, that's right. And it's because of money, it's because of access, it's because of influence. And so taking a step back and looking at how we regulate all of these pieces is really important, I think, to improve the quality of decision-making in our democracy.
Danielle, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Danielle Wood is from the Grattan Institute, and this is RN Drive.